This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
You know who else I like?
Well, I'm guessing you're going to say my friend and yours, Jeff Passan.
Oh, who doesn't like Jeff Passan? Hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
The answer to that question is nobody, obviously. But thank you for the kind introduction. I appreciate that, Michael, and I appreciate that, Peter. And Don, I'm sure you're on board with it, too.
Oh, I'm definitely on board. Now, just quickly, if you happen to be in the New York metropolitan area and during the Super Bowl, and Michael and I both invited you to a Super Bowl party separately, now, who would you choose?
Who's got the better food?
Michael.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm sorry, Don. His last Super Bowl party, the food that they didn't use because the party was canceled, it was sent overseas and fed like 3,000 people. The guy, his spread is out of control.
That could be a drop for next year.
Who's got the better drinks?
I'm going to have an old-fashioned bar. Not that the bar's old-fashioned. I'm going to be mixing drinks.
All right. Sorry, Michael. If Don's feeding me old-fashioned, I'm going to
There go. You go. You got passing.
Tell me how that goes, Jeff. All right. So when word came down that baseball pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta, I got to be honest. I'm being totally frank here. I was stunned because I didn't think this was a move that they were going to make. Not that it's the right move. Not that it's the wrong move. I just didn't think they had it in them. Were you surprised?
Yes. I was surprised not just that they did it. I was surprised, Michael, at how quickly it happened.
Yep.
Because this was not something that was done in grand consultation with the players. Like, I think that's part of this story that, as it comes out, it's really going to dawn on people how much this was Rob Manfred's choice. Not something that was pressured by the players and he cowed to it. No. This was something that Major League Baseball actively went out and chose to do, understanding what the consequences were going to be. And those consequences already have started reverberating with a representative from Louisiana trying to talk about pulling away Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption, and with Stacey Abrams, who I would argue is probably the single most important person in politics in the state of Georgia, and somebody whose raison d'etre has been voting rights, saying, I wish that Major League Baseball would not have moved the game out. And Raphael Warnock, of course, the senator from Georgia, has done the same thing to this point. When we have those voices that you think would be in support of this coming out dissenting, when you have the Atlanta Braves saying we're extremely disappointed in this, it is such a complicated and fascinating issue, and one that Rob Manfred moved very deliberately on and came in at the end with a decision that I think stunned a lot of people, myself and yourself included.
Now, is there any idea how the majority of the owners feel? Because he still works for them, right? So as righteous as he may feel he is, can he do that? Can he make a decision knowing that he does not have the backing of the majority of the owners?
If he does that, Don, he's getting fired.
Right.
I don't think he's going to make a decision like this unilaterally. I think that behind the scenes, Major League Baseball's been trying to figure out how this type of thing is going to play. And I think baseball's worst nightmare, because let's be honest. If you have a congressman coming out and talking about yanking the antitrust exemption, I mean, come on. That's just I don't know. It seems like saber rattling. Doesn't seem like something that has a whole lot of resonance or the possibility to do so is particularly strong. On the other hand, let's envision a scenario. I can use Mookie Betts as an example because he's probably the most prominent black player in baseball, but we can talk about Tim Anderson, any number of guys, Devin Williams, who are all-star caliber players. Imagine what happens if black players say, we are not going to go to where Henry Aaron made himself into the, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. We are not going to go there because the laws that were put in place make people look like us have a more difficult time to vote. We are boycotting the All-Star Game in Atlanta. For years, Major League Baseball has been fighting against the perception that it is not a place that is friendly for black players or black fans. For years, baseball has been working up to this moment, and we saw it last year when Rob Manfred said Black Lives Matter, and when the 30 general managers held up signs that said Black Lives Matter. And if you do that, you have to put your money where your mouth is, or you look like a hypocrite. And I think baseball was afraid that if there was something that happened where players did boycott the All-Star Game because of this law, then they were going to look like hypocrites. And frankly, understandably so. That would have been hypocritical. And instead, they took a position that I did not think they had in them, and that I think a lot of fans look at like, what are you doing? And certainly a lot of players look at it like, what are you doing? But that's where we are in 2021, guys. I'm sorry, but the connection between sports and politics is inextricable. You can't deny it. You can't look past it. You can't ignore it. You can't say stick to sports. It's not real. It's just not a realistic thing to do. And so Major League Baseball made a decision that they felt like was the best thing for them, and the consequences of that are going to reverberate for a really long time in this sport, I think.
Now, you just mentioned in your answer, and I want to try to amplify this, and I mentioned this earlier. I don't mean this in a negative way. But I think of all the major sports, well, let's just say baseball, basketball, and football. I'd say the majority of the player workforce would probably lean toward the conservative bent rather than the other way. So while you might be making some of your workforce happy, Jeff, there's a chance you could be making the majority of your workforce unhappy.
There is. And I think that might be what Major League Baseball did here. But the question, Michael, comes down to this. It's not a matter of what percentage is happy or unhappy. Mm-hmm. It's how unhappy each of those percentages is. And there is a lot of anger, and understandable anger, among black players in Major League Baseball, especially at the Players Alliance, which has become a very powerful constituency within the game, about what this law says and about how Major League Baseball can't possibly go out there talking about how it believes in voting rights and then not step up on this issue. And so while there is, you know, if we're talking, you know, just straight up Democrats versus Republicans, if we're talking liberals versus conservatives, among the American players, I would say baseball skews 95-5 conservative.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that a, I mean, is that a fair?
I think the owners too, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No question about
that. That's why I'm surprised they gave him the okay.
It's not quite the same. Well, I think, you know, I think owners understand something, which is that if you are the league that is seen as being too old school and being too stuck in its ways, and you reinforce that through this, I mean, there's a generation of people coming up right now, kids who are, my son is 13 years old and is living in the middle of this fascinating cultural time in our country's history where, you know, minds are being shaped. And I think when it's all said and done, we're going to look back on this. And the story of this is not going to be the congressman from Louisiana who tried to strip the antitrust exemption. It's not going to be the players who were angry. It's going to be the fact that Major League Baseball saw something when it comes to voting rights, which are the most important thing as an American citizen that you can have, and said that this is not right and we're going to take a stand against it. And I think that, you know, the baseball showing that that bent of morality is something that we haven't seen from the sport in a really long time. It's almost like it's getting back to its roots in some ways.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, where does the All-Star Game go now?
Well, what's interesting about this is that it's not like Georgia, guys, is the only place that's trying to put laws into place where they're restricting voting. There are plenty of other municipalities out there that are in states that have very similar bills to what Georgia passed already. And so it's not like you can move it to any of those states, because if those states are trying to do the same thing Georgia did, then that looks ridiculous. So I would imagine the All-Star Game is going to end up in a blue state and a blue city. And, you know, in baseball, that checks off, you know, quite a bit. It's not going to be down in Florida, not going to be down in Texas. Could it be in New York? Could it be in Chicago? It's not going to be in Los Angeles, at least Dodger Stadium, because they've got the 2022 game. I mean, there are not a ton of places. Move it to Canada, maybe?
Can you play regular season games there?
Exactly. All I know at this point is that they've got about 3 months to, not to figure it out, but 3 months to put this whole thing in place. And I was talking with an executive, I think it was over the weekend, who's hosted an All-Star game in recent years, about what it takes. And he was like, it takes years of planning. So, Major League Baseball made this decision, understanding that something that takes years of planning, they're going to have to put together in a couple of months. But I think they're also confident and bolstered by the idea that they put together a season in the middle of a pandemic last year on the fly, too. These are things that are matters of logistics, and you figure them out.
I wonder how Wisconsin would play in, because you're honoring Hank Aaron. Might be, the Brewers stadium. I don't know. But I'm not sure if Wisconsin's red or blue anymore. I'm not quite sure. So it changes from year to year. So that's just a thought.
Yeah, Milwaukee, though, if you want to give Milwaukee an All-Star game that actually has a winner, maybe that is the right choice.
Now, one final thing, and we kind of started the show with this, and before we let you go, I'd like to get your take on it. I've always wondered, Jeff, after what happened with the Nationals and this weekend series with the Mets is canceled because of COVID, why did the players just so automatically turn down starting the season on May 1st when the players will probably all be vaccinated by then? What was the real reason? Because they were going to get paid 100% of their salary. What was the problem?
I think if you look at the schedule, Michael, that was proposed, it was extremely onerous. They could have started the season on May 1st. But can I tell you something? The reality, I think at least, is that COVID is going to be around, and that people who don't get vaccinated are always going to be prone to getting it. I don't think we knew a few months ago that vaccines were going to be sped up as much as possible, to the point where now people like me, who are 40 years old and in good health, are going to be able to go out and get them, and that there are going to be plenty of places around the country where the restrictions are 16 and over now. I know that's not the case everywhere, but just not knowing that what the vaccine timetable was going to look like, I think it was a bet that the players were not willing to make, and they would have just rather played a full season. I can understand why, if they were willing to offer that 100% at 154 games, it would have been tempting. But, Michael, it also came with other things. It also came with an expansion of playoffs that players didn't feel like they were going to be getting paid for. It also came with rules that, in the end, just because the way that things had been discussed, the union just wasn't willing to listen toward the end to what MLB was saying, because it felt like, as always, each side looks at the other and feels like they're operating in bad faith. So I think as much as anything, it was about the relationship rather than the proposal.
Yeah, you don't like marriages like this. They usually end in divorce. It's just they seem like they hate each other. I mean, this is like the Mr. Smith and Mr. and Mrs. Smith movie. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. They may hate each other, but they love money. They love money. And in the end, you know what money is? Money is the kids. And they stay together, Michael, for the kids.
You love money, too, right? I mean, I love money, Jeff.
Right.
I like money. I don't do everything for money, though.
No. Yeah, I'm not a huge money guy either.
Oh, no, really, Peter? But, you work two jobs, morning and night. You don't do it for the love of the game?
I mean, honestly, yeah. I like the money comes with it, but that's not why I do it.
Well, I make out with money. I love it so much.
And where does it get you?
Oh, God.
He's a sick person, Jeff.
And also very unhappy.
Weird,
unhappy. It's sad.
Enjoy your weekend, Jeff. Thank you for coming on. I know it was late notice, but we appreciate you giving us some perspective.
You know what? I still like him anyway. That's the charm of that.
We all do.
He can talk about making out with money, and we're just like, oh, okay.
Yep, normal.
Because I'm honest, because I say things that other people won't say but believe.
Make out with money? That's beyond honest. I mean, that's just freakish.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
Take it easy. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. You know what's coming up, right? TBF. The big fella.
I love TV.
And then a very important ENN that will set the championship, which will be played on Monday in Drop Madness. Very exciting.
Very
exciting. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Passing two right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.